Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. So today is part three in a six-part series that we are doing on the Ten Commandments. If you did miss the first part and the second part, please go back and watch those. We learned a lot about the first three commandments. And today we are going to be talking about keeping the Sabbath day holy. And what does that truly mean? What day is the Sabbath? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? So many people pick even that apart. So we're going to talk about all of this and break it down for you and learn together. How about that?
Oh, that's good.
So Donna, why do we keep the Sabbath day holy? And what does that truly mean?
So the first thing that some people might be thinking when watching our show is, I wonder if they're going to address the fact that that was the one of the Ten Commandments, that was the one that was not repeated in the New Testament. Before we get too deep into what the verses are and what the arguments in the scholarly world are for and against the Sabbath being Saturday, Friday, Wednesday, Tuesday afternoon, understand that in Exodus 28 through 11, it's not just remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It goes on to say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Holy, 6 days shall thou labor and do all of the work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In that day you shall not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. So nobody works, okay? That's what it's saying. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That means he made it holy. It's not just a Jewish word, okay? We refer to this as like Sunday morning church or whatever. Sabbath was the Old Testament equivalent of the same thing. Okay. Now let's get into kind of how the shift happened from the Saturday to the Sunday. Let's dig into that. Now, I did actually go over this in our very first opening episode on the Ten Commandments, but just really briefly, I'll cover it again. It's there indirectly, and it's because we switched from an old covenant to the new covenant.
Right.
So what happened was in Deuteronomy 5:15, the keep the Sabbath holy, the reason for that is specifically listed here in Deuteronomy 5:15, so that the Jews would remember that God delivered them from Egypt.
Yep. Okay.
Through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Mm-hmm. That is the purpose of remembering the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a new deliverance, a new covenant deliverance in the New Testament. We are no longer celebrating just the deliverance from Egypt, but the deliverance that occurred in the unseen realm when Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. Now, in Luke, verse 22:19, Jesus actually says, do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of my sacrifice, which gave you deliverance.
Right.
So put the word Sabbath aside for a moment. We are still told to remember deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just instead of remembering Egypt through the Sabbath, we are told to remember that Jesus delivered us.
Right.
And then over in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul explains to the church at Corinth how to do that worthily, in a worthy manner, i.e., how to keep it holy.
Okay.
So yes, we are still to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That the spirit behind that commandment is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking the new covenant into consideration, it's a different kind of deliverance. We still need to have a Sabbath day. We still need that day of rest.
Right.
Which brings me to the Hebrew word behind Sabbath. It actually means cease, rest, complete rest, or desist. It means stop, rest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with the keeping holy part of it, it means sacred rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, rest in God. So that's what this means. Now, one of the very first things that people are going to bring up is the fact that there is a bickering group in Christianity. Some say Sabbath day should be Saturday.
Oh,
some day.
I can't wait to hear this because this literally takes me back in time. 25 years ago, I'm sitting in a medical office lobby. Another believer that I went to school with is next to me, and we're just, you know, catching up. This person believes one thing, and I'm like, but no. So I am ready to hear this. It's because it was so impactful for me that I can just go there. Right. You know?
So there's actually a couple of historical reasons behind the shift from Saturday to Sunday. But what occurred is this. The original Sabbath was the Saturday. Okay. And then Jesus rose on a Sunday. And it wasn't just because the early Christians wanted to identify the day of our Lord being Sunday, but the persecution against the Christians in the Greco-Roman area and culture was severe on Saturday because they knew that was the day they would be out worshiping.
Yeah.
So if they're out talking about the new Messiah, not only were they being persecuted by Rome, they were also being persecuted by the Jewish religious leaders who were still saying, you know, we haven't accepted that Jesus was the Messiah yet. So they were coming against them. Don't you dare bring that name into this synagogue.
Wow.
This is the Sabbath day. This is the holy day. It's all through the book of Acts. They still attended synagogue.
Yeah.
But they also had all these kinds of, well, we don't understand this usually to be the first original communion, but the original communion was not a Dixie cup of water and a cracker or grape juice. You know, it wasn't an oyster cracker. It was a long feast. It was actually called the love feast in the original Greek.
Mm.
And these took a long time. There was a lot of reverent nature in this. So they decided to move that to a Sunday. It was easier for them to not face immediate persecution on a Sunday. So not only was it the day that Jesus rose, it was also easier for them to do so legally and without as much of a potentially fatal persecution.
Mm.
However, whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday, I will remind you of two verses in the New Testament here. First of all, Mark 27. The context is that the disciples were picking ears of corn to eat on the Sabbath day.
Yep.
And Jesus, confronted by the religious spirited folk in that moment, he said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." An anti-legalistic phrase, if there ever was one, out of the mouth of who?
Jesus.
God himself.
Yeah.
So the idea is when the Sabbath becomes a legalistic issue, when people are, I say Saturday, I say Sunday, or, you know, Charisse, I just got to tell you, the Lord has told me to tell you that you're not doing what you need to do on a Sabbath day because we had a pot roast and you didn't bring the carrots.
Right.
That's legalism, right? The idea that we bring ritual into it. And then one last thing. Colossians 2, 16 through 17, literally listen to what this says. It is very convicting. Therefore, this is Paul talking, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. All right. These are a shadow of things yet to come. He's referring to Jesus being the main point here. And so I went ahead and looked up a really quick commentary on that. This comes straight out of Holman from my Logos Bible software. It says, "The spiritual life has its dangers and its warnings. Paul warned the church against those who would make the Christian life a set of legalistic rules. The basis for resisting legalism involves focusing on the believer's relationship with Christ. Believers no longer are captive to religious tradition or human bondage.
That's right.
Instead, they are captive to Christ.
Yep.
In view of this privileged identification with Christ, the church must realize its great responsibility, which is set your mind on things above."
Yeah, that's good. So jumping back to, you know, how you're contrasting the Old Testament view of the Sabbath, which is it's mentioned in direct conjunction with the fact that Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and then God delivered them out.
Exactly.
And then in the New Testament, Jesus was the new deliverance.
Yeah.
They got it wrong. They kept looking for the next Moses, right?
Right.
We've talked about that a lot lately.
Yeah.
But in the Old Testament, they approached the Sabbath with their sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And they would bring whatever they could to offer to God as some kind of trade for their sins, basically, some sacrifice to help redeem them from sin. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for our sins.
Yes.
So when we look at the Sabbath, it's important to remember that it's not through any of our own works any of our own powers or anything we can offer. Like, we have nothing to offer God that he needs.
No, exactly.
Not really,
no.
You know. And people will say, oh, God needs me to do this. No, God really wants you to do that. But God has, you know, unlimited resources. There's nothing we can offer him that he doesn't already have. It's by his redemptive blood that we are offered salvation and that we, you know, can secure our eternity. So by understanding the new Sabbath, it's having a new relationship with God that completely removes anything that we think we could do to earn our salvation and realize that it's a gift.
Right.
Now,
I don't want to take that so far in the other direction where people are thinking, oh, that means I don't have to try because it's all a gift. No, you do have to try. You know, it is possible for our choices to separate us from God.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the Sabbath and our new attitude toward the Sabbath, it is a moment to remember that our salvation is a gift that mm-hmm. we could never earn and that was completely mm-hmm. given to us for free.
So then does it matter what day that you do this? Because it comes to my mind right now, back when we were cooking for those retreats up there at the camp, it was amazing how many people would preach that it was sinful to work on a Sunday while they stand in line and eat the bacon that we spent all morning cooking. And I always thought that was kind of weird. You know, we're in there working, mm-hmm. but yeah. we're the sinners because we were working.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they said we were working, you know, on a Sunday.
So well, they were partaking of the fruit of our labor. They bellied up.
So they crossed my mind a lot during the last episode when we were talking about taking God's name in vain, him exploitively. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is on that note, I remember we had this one group, and they weren't the easiest in all of their ways.
And we'll leave it at that.
But their Sabbath was Friday night sundown to Saturday sundown. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they asked us to come in and prepare everything in advance. And they actually had us take that time off too. And they even tried to do things like if they could see that, you know, if a light bulb was blinking, that might go out while we're on our Sabbath. Let's replace it now ahead of time. Everything they could think of to shut down the whole facility, you know, during that period of time. Most of the groups, when they were there, they want you to cater all this hot, fresh yeah, food to them. Right. These guys asked for casseroles. I think it's the only time we ever made a casserole, right. you know, and we went in and heated it up and they had us leave out different things they right. could just eat that would be okay on the shelves.
Right.
Yeah, that was an interesting time interacting
yeah,
with that group.
That. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we did get a lot of that.
The other.
And we got, and they did really use the commandment, remember the Sabbath. It's Sunday morning. Why aren't you in church? And it's like, because you wanted breakfast.
Right.
You know,
right.
we go on Sunday nights or whatever other time where, you know, I mean, it's when we could.
That's always been one of those little pet peeve things to me. It's like, well, why can't my Sabbath day be Monday? Because maybe that's the only day off that I have, you know, or whatever. And Monday is my only day off. Okay, so then I work Tuesday through Saturday mm-hmm. or Sunday, and I only have one day off. Because I know even when God created the earth in Genesis 1 and chapter 1, he rested on the seventh day.
Yeah.
And he wants that to be sacred because you need that rest. Mm-hmm. That is your time right. to take a breather, recenter yourself before the week mm-hmm. happens. So again, if people are working on Saturday or right. Sunday, I know some churches have even tried to help with that, and they'll have like a Friday night Sunday service, and then they'll have their regular stuff on Sunday as well, because so many people, depending on what their job is, if they're mm-hmm. a nurse, they're working 12-hour right. days right. on a Sunday right. or a Saturday. And that's okay, right? Because they're still going to keep a day holy.
Right.
But does it really, truly matter what day they choose to keep holy?
No. Well, there's two things I would say to that. Number one, what Donna just read, that Paul had said, mm-hmm. don't let anybody judge you for your religious rituals right. in this way by how you do the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That pretty much, I think, answers that in the sense mm-hmm. that if you are working Saturday or Sunday, I mean, your pastor works on Sunday, okay?
Right.
So there's
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know? But the other thing is that it's supposed to be sacred rest.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a practical element to that. Our bodies are not meant to go 7 days a week.
Exactly. Right.
And burnout is a thing. Really.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, if we have one day a week that we remember, online churches are helping a lot with this
yes.
because there are people who, let's say you work Monday, you find an online church you like and you can stream their service mm-hmm. after the fact or whatever.
Yes,
you right. know, if you have something within that day that you're trying to remember that this day is about God,
mm-hmm.
then you're not getting too far. It's easy to get busy and
sure.
6 months have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier to stay in touch if you're remembering that one day out of the week, God's a priority, which right. he should be a priority 7 days a week.
Right.
And we should be in our Bibles 7 days a week and we should be doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But that accountability of the Sabbath happening once a week,
yeah,
you know, is a way to help keep in touch with where have I been this week? What have I done with my time and with my life? And where am I at with God?
I like the comment she made about remembering that that is the day of deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remembering that day that you rest and remember your own personal deliverance. Mm-hmm. I think that's important
yeah.
to remember that.
It's
speaks to freedom. We're no longer slaves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
We do need to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
The winter season is finally upon us, and we have the perfect package to keep you warm and cozy on those cold, snowy nights. Still wishing it was a holiday season with all those pretty lights and presents under the tree? Well, why don't you try our Spicy Earl Grey Tea? It's one of our host's favorites. With its classic taste, beautifully combining a sophisticated black tea with hints of spice to make it the ideal Christmas in a cup. Up early digging out the car? Face the cold with a rejuvenating cup of our dark blend, fairly traded, all-organic Tornado Watch coffee. Its strong body with dark chocolate, fruit, and nut flavors will give you the boost you need to get your day started off right, or give you that mid-afternoon jump to finish off your day strong. Our Tornado Watch coffee is the cup of joy you need to warm yourself from head to toe during this winter season. This package also includes our charming blue Simply His ceramic mug. And finally, to help inspire you this new year and your future spring cleaning dreams, we've included the book Live Happy by beloved couple from HGTV, Dave and Courtney Wilson. Live Happy is full of beautiful, inspiring pictures and fun, easy-to-digest snippets, making it a helpful, unintimidating way to learn new tips, tools, and tricks for your home and family. You may also find it helpful as you prepare for some new DIYs to try out this spring. Read Live Happy for practical ways to take the house and make it your home. To find out more about the Simply His Winter Package and to place your order today for only $25 plus shipping and handling, shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985.
Continuing our discussion on the Sabbath day and keeping it holy and what all that entails. Allie, you were getting ready to say some things right before we took our break.
I read something interesting in a commentary the other day when I was getting ready for this episode. Mm-hmm. And basically it was somebody pointing out in the New Testament, you see a different attitude toward the Sabbath, obviously, mm-hmm. because Jesus right. even, you know, fostered that. Yeah. But when Paul comes in, this is interesting. Once Paul is on the scene, all the New Testament references to the Sabbath are in direct conjunction to his ministry with the Jews. It's Paul's attempt to meet them on their terms, as 1 Corinthians 9:20 says, which is, "Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as are under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." So the idea of there being any real precedent about the Sabbath, even mentioned in the New Testament, was in conjunction to Paul's ministry to the Jews, because he was trying to meet them where they were.
Yeah.
The idea that they're going to let go of this Sabbath that they've been carrying out for so many generations, that he's mm-hmm. not going to go against that, so he's just meeting them where they are. But to the newcomers coming in, there really wasn't a Gentile Sabbath. It was communion, as you've mentioned.
Good. We were talking a few minutes ago about that camp that we used to work at and how we would be making, you know, everybody's eggs and bacon. And now it's Sunday morning and they're having a chapel service wondering why we're not in there. Well, we had to make your bacon.
Right.
Okay. We were talking about that a few minutes ago. Here's another one. You go to work on Monday. You spend all Monday in the Word figuring out what does this mean and what does the Lord say over here? And you're doing theology and you're praying over this. And then you go to lunch and you're praying over a coworker. It don't have to be in four walls with a steeple on the top. That's church. It's the church in the body, in absolute
it's
action.
Community.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So when you think about that, in a way, there are some people who are plugged into something that is 100% Sabbath on Monday, Sabbath on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're Sabbathing all week long.
Right.
So by the time they get to a Sunday, if they miss church, they get their phone starts blowing up. Mm-hmm. Were you sick? Because that would be the only reason why it's allowed for you not to be here today.
Church.
And this is kind of like a legalistic thing that still exists.
Yeah,
legalism will never die.
No,
that's why I just want to say there are some people right now that are listening to us right now. They ministry 24/7.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So God bless those souls that To every moment to them is a Sabbath. They don't waste a single moment.
Right.
They Sabbath it up all the time. And when they do rest, physically I'm talking, they deserve the rest they get. And if it doesn't happen to be from sun up to sundown at a certain time, we need to very much respect those people who are giving the whole of their lives to the spreading of the gospel, right?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Absolutely.
That was awesome.
Find the irony also of your comment about, you know, we missed the Sabbath because we were making your bacon. And there are so many people that are hung up about bacon because of its prohibition in the Old Testament. You have to pick a lane, you know?
That's true. That is so true. I never thought about that. That's funny.
Well, I know that the animals have to eat on Sunday.
Right.
They can't feed themselves. So we work Sundays too sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. They didn't like the Sabbath. The horses didn't go for it.
That's right. They kind of complained.
They took a vote and said nay.
Oh, that was nice.
Okay, that was good. That's my favorite one.
I had to.
Well, and we already mentioned, you know, you can pick a day. I think the Lord understands that because it is the work the 6 days and then take the seventh day. So if your job calls for you, like you said, we're constantly doing ministry. So sometimes we do want to just take a day at home to just rest and relax and take a minute because we're constantly being in church as we know it. We might not go to church on Sunday because that's our only day off to stay at home and be a family and take that much needed rest and family time, you know, and that's just as important as being part of the church body, because here at Skywatch, we really truly are, in a lot of ways, for all intents and purposes, we are a church body.
Right.
So if you have to work all the time, make sure you're just at least taking some time to rest. That, I think, is the more important takeaway.
Yeah.
From this whole show is keeping at least one day that you can take your time to commune with God.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, like Donna said, in a church with the steeples and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You can do that in your own home.
But before that's taken completely out of context, so that people think that I'm suggesting nobody needs to worry about church anymore. That is not
what you're saying
here.
No.
You know, elsewhere we do absolutely read in the word, forsake not the gathering.
Yeah. Right.
And the more so. Yeah. So we need to not forsake the gathering. But what I'm saying is that for some people, a gathering is a life group on Wednesday night.
Right.
Listen, if their physical body is not in a certain building on Sunday morning from this hour to this hour, that doesn't mean that they are not plugged into the body of Christ, which is far more important.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely.
I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, those who have been abused by the church to the point that they're saying, you know, I'm good with God, but I'm scared to go around his people.
Yeah.
You know, whatever pace they need to take it, if gathering means that they're in their safety of their own home where nobody's going to be mean to them, and they're going to stream a church online.
Right.
But the thing that's nice about modern technology is that there are lots of ways to do it and get plugged in.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you don't go physically to a church, and then COVID really, I mean, COVID was horrible, but it did revolutionize this.
Right.
Churches got online and figured out how to make other stuff work.
Yeah.
And
great.
So when you're looking at these people who, I'm not done with God yet, but I need a break from his people.
Yeah.
You know, they, or people who call themselves his people. Let me correct myself.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are ways that they can come back in slowly.
Yeah.
The Sabbath for them is just a time of healing from the spirit of religion and the spirit of legalism and all of those other things. You know, I think that God meets us where we are.
For sure.
And chapters change in our lives.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking to what, you know, you were talking about, you know, as far as the nurse that's working and us, all of those things. There was a quote that I read the other day when we were studying about this, but it said, keeping the Sabbath holy is life-changing, even world-changing, because it reminds us we are not made to be slaves to our work, and we should live in the freedom granted to us by God, which emphasizes relationships, particularly with our family, and be a humane and compassionate people who honor him. And I thought, ooh. Yeah, you know, because that can get a little convicting, you know, if you're, they're so busy mm-hmm. in well doing
mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah. that you're not, you know, plugging back into your own people, mm-hmm. you know, your own community. I was like, oh, okay. Thank you for the reminder. That hurt a little bit.
Yeah. People get so burnt out in ministry.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And they forget to prioritize their own spiritual well-being and their That's own physical right. well-being There's because this
pouring
this
out to everybody else.
Scripture that gets taken out of context mm-hmm. about being a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So if I'm still breathing, I need to still be sacrificing.
Right.
You know, and it gets exhausting and they burn out. And unfortunately, I mean, you've seen this a lot of times. Mm-hmm. A person's got a decade or two of that in them at the most, and
right.
then they, lots of times, you lose them completely.
They'll flip the other direction.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So the idea that they would be given permission
yeah.
to take a break and prioritize their rest without their phone blowing up, where were you today?
No, and see,
we missed you at church.
That's
this
the thing.
Sunday,
we need to get better at that.
yeah.
You know, with being gracious and merciful enough to recognize they need that. Please stay home. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling you. Don't answer your phone. You know what I mean?
yeah.
You need that time.
It's like I texted you to see if you'd text me back, and it was a test. You're not supposed to have your
exactly.
phone right now.
Power your phone down.
Yeah.
I've had to confiscate Joe's phone a few times just for yeah. that because he works so much, and people always need him, you know? So there's been a few times I'm like, Joe, if it's not me or one of your kids, you don't touch your phone. You can check it to see if it's one of us, but then that's it. And sometimes physically, I'll actually just take it and go put it somewhere else in the house and let one of the kids play with it or something.
You know, so. I've seen you do that, actually. She's telling
I've had
the
to
truth.
Do it a few times I just because he needs rest.
Right.
And as his wife, you know, that's my job to make sure he's getting what he needs as well.
Well, for sure. Well, think about it. You know, ask anybody that's married to a workaholic.
Yeah.
You know, how good would it be for that marriage if that workaholic took a day, you know,
just
to commune with their spouse, and that perspective, that can really lead to how you can appreciate the power of the Sabbath day,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that face time with that person.
Yep.
You know, and how
Absolutely.
Important that is. It feeds, you know, so much more than your body. It, you know, it
Absolutely.
Feeds your soul.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are all out of time again, so please join us again next week, though. We are going to be talking about honoring your father and mother. This is a huge one. I know it's affected my life, and I know a lot of people wonder, well, what does honoring your mother and father actually mean? So it's going to be another explosive episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. Did you guys enjoy this? Are you learning a lot? Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Simply His Coffee Shop.